We are in the last week of our series called Game Changers. And if you would, take out your Bibles. And if you don't have your Bibles, take out your computer pads or your phone or even just pull out the sheets. And we're going to look at the verse Matthew chapter 28. So if you would, stand with me while you're looking for that verse. I'm going to give you just a minute to find that. We're going to read that together, a little out of order on the slides. So if you would stand with me this morning, we're going to read that verse together. While you're finding it, I want to just reinforce a couple of things that we just said here, is that the Christmas series is going to be really, really good. In fact, kind of everything post-Thanksgiving, I promise you don't want to miss. Next week is going to be Lennon Nolan is going to be speaking, and one that we've sent out to pioneer the Chi Alpha at Duke University. He's coming back, and he's kind of taking a different role. And then we're going to have the kids choir. We're doing this incredible music thing on the 14th. And then Christmas Eve service. Here's the deal. 1 hour of this incredible opportunity for us to worship the Lord together. What a Christmas is not about gifts. We do that culturally, but it's about the gift given to us. And so we're going to come together for an hour. We're going to do the kids' story. We're going to do some worship. We're going to do some, it's going to be Christmas Eve service. If your parents are in town, bring them with you. If your family, bring them. And then if you you say, well, we have Christmas Eve family stuff. So do we. We do Christmas Eve, like that's the big Norman family stuff is Christmas Eve, and we work around that a little bit. So no condemnation if you don't come, but it's going to be incredible if you do come. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20, if you'll read this with me. It says, then Jesus came and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Then Jesus is just saying, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What an incredible challenge that Jesus gives there. And so I want to read it one more time, and I want you to follow along. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Father, lead us in the message today. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to fellowship together, and to grow spiritually together. And so, Lord, I pray that we would never take this time for granted, that we would never, Lord, just scoot along during this time, but we would make the most of it because it's an incredible opportunity that you've given us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. We are closing out our series called Game Changers. And last week and this week, we're going through kind of the DNA, kind of the heartbeat, what we are all about as a church. So what does Grace Hill stand for? Our very DNA, the very thing that defines an organism or an organization is the DNA. And so for us, the DNA also, it means kind of that thing in that organism or in that organization that is unchangeable. So what, when we started the church 6 years ago, when God was compelling us to be an organization in this community, what was it that he was calling this church to be? Regardless of who the pastor is, regardless of who's attending and who moves in and who comes to Christ, what is he calling this place to be? And Grace Hill became an acrostic. The G stands for that we're going to be God-centered. That everything that we do is going to be centered around God and God's purposes. That there are lots of things that we can do as an organization, lots of things that we can do as a church, but we're going to be God-centered first and foremost. The second thing we talked about is that the way we do ministry is going to be relevant to the community that we're in. And it talks about how the men of Issachar, there was a big turmoil, and this is the short of it, but they had, the men of Issachar didn't, they prayed, they saw God, and it said they knew what to do in their time and in their day. And that's what we want to do. Everything we want to do is be relevant so that people can understand the message of the gospel, which is good news. How many of you know the story of the gospels is good news? We're also going to endeavor to have authentic relationships through fellowship, through ministry teams, authentic community, through ministry teams, through our connection groups, through small groups, through activities, through our tailgate party that was just great, great response just a few weeks ago as we watched the Cowboys play. They lost that day. It stunk, but all the New York Giant fans in the room are going, yes, get out right now. No, I'm just kidding. But we want to have authentic community that we believe life change happens best in the context of small groups. And so we're going to endeavor to have authentic community. And also the C, and this is a win for Grace Hill. This is a big deal, change lives. That's what God has called us to be a part of, that it doesn't matter how good things are or how bad things are on the outside. God is talking about life change on the inside. And then the E in grace stands for excellence, that we're going to give God our best of our emotions, of our time, of our finances, of our giftings, of our abilities, that we want to give God our best, and he deserves it. And so as we move in, if you missed that sermon, that you can follow that and look that at gracehill.cc and follow Digital Church. You can listen to last week's message. But as we move into this, that we want to find kind of and understand as a team, get on the same page as a team. We want to find God's heart for us as a church. So as we've looked and reviewed over grace, let's jump into what the H and the I and the LL, the Hill, stands for. Number one, if you're taking notes, H stands for helping others discover Christ. So if we're talking about on the C, change lives, that ultimately this is where it begins to happen. When we begin to discover Jesus Christ and all that he is, helping people discover Christ. That the heart of Grace Hill is that we're not going to be content and we're not going to be satisfied until we have had the chance to extend God's love and God's hope to every person we can possibly present the message to. Until everyone in our community, everyone from the missionaries we support, that everyone that we can possibly share that message of hope with has heard the message. One of our core values is that every person deserves to hear the gospel at their level of understanding. That's why we do kids ministry. That's why in nursery, though they're young and they're still developing cognitive abilities, that we present the Bible on a level in which the children can learn it. So when you put them in the nursery, they're not just getting childcare. We're teaching. Because we want to help them at a young age to discover Christ. That's why we put them in Grace Kids and we say volunteer, and you're saying, whoa, kids, oh man, I love kids, but kids don't love me. Or I hate kids, or well, if you hate kids, we don't want you in there. But if you like kids but kind of intimidated, you get to go in there and teach them. And so we have a guy in the church, Greg, that he's a smart guy and achieving in his career, but he was like, I don't want to teach the kids. And the first week in there, Pastor John and Jamie, they put him leading a small group, and he was like, oh my gosh. And then he was like, this was great. Because we want to help even those in Grace Kids to discover Jesus. That's a win for us, helping others to discover Christ. And so Jesus here was talking to those who were committed followers in the verse we read a minute ago. He was talking to those who had already come to Christ. And the truth is, every one of us in this room at some point have heard the message of Christ. And I would say a large percentage of us have crossed that line of faith of saying, I've become a follower of Jesus. And all of us were at the point where we were yet to cross the line of faith and we didn't know Jesus. But someone chased us, someone prayed for us, someone invited us, someone pursued us, someone, they bugged us and bugged us and bugged us till we finally went to church, or we finally listened to the message, or we finally, in a moment of need, went to them for prayer. Someone chased us to where we finally crossed the line of faith. They helped us to discover Christ. So now Jesus is talking to a group of committed followers. And again, I want to read Matthew to you again, this verse. And it says, Jesus said to them, he's talking to them, our followers. Them are the disciples. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now it's been given to me, and I reside in you. You have accepted me as your Lord. And now you go, not in your your own abilities, but because God is working in you, God is working through you, that God has saved you, God has renewed. Now you, in God's strength, you go make disciples of all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You teach them to obey the commands I've given you. And God says, I'm with you even to the ends of the age. And if you teach one, and they teach one, and they teach one, then ultimately over the long haul, there is a compounding effect. Several years ago, I went on staff at a church as a young youth pastor, just newly married, just a few months married, and the children's pastor on staff was a part-time guy, and he and his wife did it, and they worked in the community, and I began to find over time his story. He had been the children's pastor there for 17 years. He had taught hundreds and hundreds of children. That there were children that he had taught that were now married and had their own children and that were in the church. And the story was is that 20 years earlier, Steve did not know Christ. And he worked with a guy who was an older gentleman in the church named Hal. And Hal was like, he was an elegant man. He was a man of composure. He was just this great guy, soft-spoken. And Hal had led Steve to the Lord. And Hal went over to his house every day for 6 months after work and did a 15-minute Bible study with Steve every day for 6 months. Hal said, okay, all authority has been given to the Lord. The Lord lives inside of me there. I'm going to go make disciples. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to lead them. And there was this incredible process of Hal helping Steve discover Christ. 3 years later, he began to lead the children's department. And for 17 years, Steve helped hundreds of children discover Jesus. That's our call. That's who God is calling us to be as a church. And Jesus, by implication or by word, he's saying this, if you're my follower, help others discover me. One Sunday, we had taught a message similar to this. And a man came and sat on the front center chair. And he wanted to talk. And I sat down next to him, and as he began to talk, he began to weep, and he put his hands down. He's an older gentleman, thinning hair, wrinkled face. And as we began to talk, he began to weep, and he couldn't talk, and he just put his hands in his face. And he caught his composure enough, and he said, I want Jesus, but my life has been too bad. I've done too much. I can never be forgiven of the life that I've lived. I've wasted my life. And as I sat on the front row at our church in Houston, a quote came to my heart, was broken for him. I began to cry with him. And a quote came to my mind that is on your sheets today. It's by a guy named Jerry Bridges that says this, your worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace. And so every day should be a day of relating to God on the basis of his grace alone. And so for that gentleman that we sat on the front row at the church in Houston, we sat right there, that he was never beyond the reach of God's grace. And that day as we prayed together, he received Christ into his life. Because one of his neighbors bugged him until he came to church. Helped him discover Christ. And so today, the point is this. Is that someone's helped you to discover Christ. And the calling of this church is not to be a holy club to where we're separate from anyone else. A holy club. How many of you in here, you're perfect? Ooh, if you raise your hand, you're fibbing. This is not to be a holy huddle. This is to be a place where we invite those far from God to feel safe enough to ask questions, have questions answered, and to help them discover the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Helping others discover Christ. If you're taking notes today, also in 1 John 2:29 through 51, this is in your notes, in it's a reference there. Look it up. But basically, the short of it is, he's saying, help people discover Jesus. A few years ago, we were playing basketball with a bunch of guys, and the guy ended up finding out that I was a pastor, and he said, hey, you're here every week. What do you do? And we began to talk, and he said, I grew up really religious, but I never knew Christ. And he goes, and then 7 years ago, and he was in his mid-40s at the time, he goes, 7 years ago, I ended up coming into relationship with Jesus, and it's changed everything. What I've discovered is Jesus is really great, but religion stinks. And have you know, I say the same thing. Jesus is really great. And so today, helping others discover Christ, helping others discover Christ. God is not willing that any should perish. And so where do we fit in? Who can we help point towards Christ? That we can't play the Holy Spirit and convict them, but ultimately we can point them to who can help change their lives. The next part of our DNA is this, is intentional serving. Something that is a core value that we believe in, and I want you to understand, is that we believe that every person is uniquely gifted by God, is uniquely crafted and uniquely gifted by God to serve somewhere in ministry. And so right now, football is in high gear, particularly college football. It's heading down to the last week and the conference championship games, and it's laying out the final four teams who will make the playoffs and play for the national championship. But if you look at those teams work really, really well in the context of team. And so you've got people who are linemen, you've got people who are receivers, and they all play their part. So like, I'm going to make a little team right now. So you, first of all, you have the big uglies on there. Aaron, come here. Come here. You're going to play the big ugly for me, all right? I mean, isn't he just giant, right? Just a big guy. So come on, hurry up, man. I know you're big ugly. You know the lineman. Look how Aaron's back from Honduras. Aren't we glad that Aaron is back? So, I mean, this guy is a natural lineman, all of 145, right? So you got the big uglies playing the offensive line, and then you've got the small guys, the small quick guys, the receivers. You've got the little bitty quick receiver guys. Oh, you're out here. You're the wide receiver out there, guy. So, and then you've got the quarterback. Celeste, come up here. Come up here. Come on, Celeste. Come on, hurry up, girl. Hurry, hurry, hurry. All right, Haley, come here. You're going to be the running back. Come on, hurry, Haley. Doesn't she look mean enough to be like a running back, vicious? All right, come on, you're back here, running back here. Come on, be a quarterback, you're behind the big offensive line. All right, all these guys have to play their part. That this guy, when the ball is hiked, he's got to go on a running play. He's got to make the hole. Celeste has got to take the handoff. She's got to hand it to Haley. They've got to all execute the play to go forward. On a running play, the offensive line, they've got to block. And the wide receiver goes out. Way out. Okay, keep going. Deep going. And Celeste throws in the ball. They've got to work together. And each one is gifted and skilled in a certain way. I was watching the Arkansas game yesterday, and their line averages 330 pounds. Average. You think that guy's going to go out on the far end out there and run a pass play? He's going to run one play and go, Coach, get me out. Get me out. Because we're all gifted in a certain way. And in this room today, some of you in here, you're linemen. Today, some of you in here, you're wide receivers. Some of you are the quarterback. Some are the running back. Some, you're the guy that comes in on third down and you're the long distance back. Because God has gifted us differently. But when we're all serving in our gifts and we're all serving in our abilities, you know what happens is that the play is executed, the team moves forward, they score, and ultimately they win the game. Thank you guys very much. And here's the deal. The coach's job is to not put on the pads and not to go onto the field. The coach's job is to run the practices behind the scenes. And then when they go into game time, when they go into the opportunity to execute, his job is to call the right play so that it gives them the best chance to win. And really, here's what I want you to capture today is that this is not in any way the staff show. That this is all of us in this together, serving in different areas of ministry and doing different parts of the task in order to move us forward. And truthfully, Tamara and I and the staff, we're going to be the biggest cheerleaders as all of us do our jobs together. The job for us is to equip and to put into release into ministry, because there in this room, man, there's people way better at lots of things than me. And we serve in those gifts. And one of our great callings is to use the gifts that God has given us in service to Him. And another one of our great callings, guys, and part of this intentional serving is to serve what the Bible would call the least of these. So serve those outside of the walls of our church, and to be a blessing regardless of the return back to us directly. Matthew 25, he says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did to the least of these brothers, you've done for me." And for this reason, we're going to share our resources and our time and our energy. We're going to share these things in mission and in serving. The Bible describes these abilities that we have as gifts. There's spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about that believers get. But there's also ministry gifts and service gifts, and so to speak. And it says this in 1 Peter 4:10. Every one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that, listen to this, so why do we serve? Why do we use our gifts? Why is this one of our core values at Grace Hill? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Why do we intentionally serve? Because the Bible says we grow up, we mature, that God is lifted up, and we grow up because of it. The next verse on your sheets is Ephesians 4:11. It was some He gave to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And it goes on, it says, from Him the whole body is joined together in every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That ultimately it matures us as we serve and as we do our gifts. We mature in our process of serving, and it helps others to mature. That the Bible calls us a family. The Bible calls us a body. And the Bible's saying that it's healthiest, it's best when we're in unity together. Serving, intentional serving. Helping others discover Christ, intentional serving. If you're taking notes today, follow along with me. But also we're talking about this, lending a hand. Intentional serving is where we use the gifts that God has given us. Lending a hand is where we're saying, okay, what's the need? What's the felt need? We're going to reach out and meet that felt need. In outreach, we never neglect the local church. That's the family that God's place is in. But also in God's call, we're to reach out as well. And a good motto is this: I'm going to find a need and I'm going to meet it. And over time, we're going to get better at this. But one of the things I want to give you guys huge props for is this, is that we're helping to feed 200 families for Thanksgiving through Dallas Metro Ministries. And we're never, ever going to see a return on that investment, because those families are connected with Dallas Metro, this inner city ministry. We will never see them come into our door, so it will never benefit us directly. But we are having over 200 things of corn, 200 packages of mac and cheese, and we surpassed that because of the generosity of this church. We found a need, and we're jumping in and serving that need in a way that will never return to us in the physical, but the Bible talks about reaping and sowing, and on a spiritual level, it will return to us. Does that make sense today? That we're saying, I see a need, a felt need, and I'm going to meet that need. Here's the deal. If we're doing ministries around here and they don't meet needs, we're not going to do them. Because we're not going to waste our man hours on things that don't matter to meet needs. Felt needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs that bring people ultimately closer to Christ and help their lives. Romans 12 says this, verses 10 through 13, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Both meeting needs here, intentional serving, or when we do missions trips and helping others go around the world. And the last L, if you're taking notes on this today, the first one, the G, was God-centered. The L, the last thing here, is leading with biblical truth. Guys, we will never do things that are outside of the parameters of the Bible. Does that make sense? That we're going to base, this is the canon for our lives, leading with biblical truth. This is the roadmap. The Bible's taught, is memorized in different settings, and is to be demonstrated through our lives. I love this verse in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. And so here's the thing, is that we're going to lead with biblical truth. And something that we did as we bought the building 2 years ago, and we had to do some remodel, tons of remodel, but we also had to fill in a big hole in the middle of the lobby there that used to be a fountain. Do you guys, some of you guys remember that? And we had the big prayer service, and we had, remember there were no lights in the lobby, so we had to bring in construction lights and shine them up. And something that we did, we took a Bible, we wrapped it up, and we put it in the bottom of that foundation before we poured the foundation over the top. And there's nothing necessarily in and of itself that's spiritual about that, but what we were saying is everything that we do will be based on Bible principles that God has given us, that this whole thing that we're doing here is all centered around God and His word for us. Biblical truth. That's where we're going to lead. That's where we're going to go. 2 Timothy 3 says this. All scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for the good, for every good work. The Bible is our ruler for life. It's our measuring stick for life. And so today, I want to ask you, as you're going through life, I want you to ask, does this line up with what the scripture teaches in this area? Does this line up with what the scripture teaches in this area? Because there's some things the Bible clearly says don't do. There's some things the Bible clearly says do these things. And then there's some things that is principles based on the moment saying, okay, this is how you guide your life. So today, leading with biblical truth. It's the moral compass. Helping others discover Christ. Intentional serving. Lending a hand. Leading in biblical truth. And here's really what I want us to walk away with today. The two big ideas that I want us to walk away with today is this. Is how can I help others discover Christ? That's what we're called to do. Helping others know the Lord and how we can be forgiven and saved and that there can be internal life transformation. And where has God gifted me that I can serve? What's a need that I can meet? Where has God blessed me that I can serve? Would you stand with me today? I'm going to ask you to stand up, and if you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. Your heart's just open to the Lord. Really, what the two things I want you to do, and maybe you need to keep those notes in your hand and write something on the bottom. But I feel like today that maybe during the time that we pray, the Lord's going to impress upon your heart who you can just share God's love with. And as Chris said, maybe when the Lord answers one of your prayer requests, that you tell someone who's not a believer in Christ how God has done an incredible thing and just plant that seed of the goodness of God. So who does the Lord want you to share the good news of the story of Jesus with? And secondly, where has God gifted you and where can you serve? Serving, it does benefit the local church and the local body, but it also benefits you. And maybe there's something even outside of the church where God's saying for you to serve and be an example of Christ. There's a need that you can meet. The bigger picture of God's kingdom, that is a blessing. So would you just bow your heads right now? I want us to begin to pray. Father, I pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts in this room right now about who we can help to discover Jesus. That who we can share our story with, who we can invite, who we can pray for, whatever the situation may be, who we can help in that process, in that journey of coming to faith in Jesus. That you would put that on our hearts right now in this room, and that, Lord, we would just feel a clear direction from you, or even a small prompting from you, God. Who, Lord, who we can share our faith with. And secondly, God, begin to stir our hearts about where we can serve. It may be within the confines of these four walls, so to speak, or it may be somewhere in our community, but begin to speak to our hearts where we can serve and meet a need and be an example of Christ, both with our actions and when the opportunity comes with our words. And Father, I pray that something that would be said of this group, that we love people far from God and we help them to discover God. I hope that something that can be said of these people is that we serve selflessly in service to God. So Lord, today speak to our hearts.